Have any of you gone rock climbing before? Heavy has. Anyone else? Sorry, I wasn't looking around. Okay. For those of you who went rock climbing, did you go like on one of those artificial ones, or was it real rock climbing? Artificial. Everyone's artificial. Okay. I'll invite responses for those of you who have done this. What was important to you while you were doing the rock climbing?
Hanging on.
The rope.
Okay. So not you didn't go free, rope free. Abby, did you say you did it before too?
Yeah.
What was important to you?
The rope, probably.
The rope, okay.
And the person at the bottom that had the end of the rope.
I've done it without rope. Layer. I've done it without rope, but hanging on was the most important thing.
I imagine it would be in that case, yeah. Tiff, I can't hear what you said. Still can't hear you. The iPhone needs unmuted. There we go. Now I got you.
Okay. Not that close. I said the harness and my bladder because I'm terrified of heights. So we were close.
Okie dokie then.
I guess one time that we were hiking, there were some rocks and we had to go on all fours to climb it. Not quite as drastic as, you know, some big, huge, but we had to be on all fours. And the most important thing for me, honestly, was not looking down. Like, I did not want to look down. I just wanted to keep my eyes forward and keep climbing.
Sure. So whether you've gone rock climbing or not, I want you to imagine for a moment that you're rock climbing and you can imagine this either artificial, real, doesn't really matter. The concept is the same. But imagine that as you're rock climbing, every single handhold you try to grab onto just keeps falling away. Like if it's one of those fake rocks that's screwed into the wall, you grab it and the screw just pops out and the rock falls down. You're grabbing loose pieces of gravel on the wall as you go. That would not be a fun experience, right? Not good. Well, welcome to today, because that's what it feels like right now, doesn't it? We have all these things that we thought were steady, that we're going to be solid, that we could hang on to, and all of them are just falling away. We can put our trust in money. You know, people say, I've got a nest egg, I've got what's required, I'll be okay. And now something like this happens, and millions of people are out of work and struggling financially, and the safety net they had is gone. Some people may have clung to their health. Some people hardly ever get sick, and there are others who seem like they get sick all the time, but this virus now can affect anyone. And it's not only the virus now, though, that is affecting people, both healthy and unhealthy, but negative effects that come from the isolation. You don't have to look very far to find articles and reports of an uptick in mental health struggles, increase in anxiety, increase in depression, increase in abuse, suicide. I mean, just even within the medical community, we've heard stories of that. And now, to add on top of that, all these extra health issues, now you can't even get in to see a doctor very easily. Even that is a whole big new ordeal. So there's another handhold that's just kind of crumbled away. Sometimes we depend on our friends or family, and they're our support. Now we're for most people stuck at home, doing the social distancing thing. And yeah, I know there's Zoom, but let's face it, it's not the same. I mean, I love getting together as the church like this, but it's not the same as being here together in the flesh. So even that has crumbled away from what we're used to. Even little things that we take for granted, like for those of you living in the Lehighton Water Authority area, now your water from a water main break that's all messed up. It's like, oh, this one thing that I hoped I could depend on, and even that is now busted, and we're having to boil water and all this stuff. One other one that comes to mind is even just normalcy can feel like a handhold. I feel like I have a grasp on what's going on. It's normal. In the movie The Dark Knight, the Joker, the bad guy, says something to the effect of, you know, if everything goes according to the plan, even if the plan is horrible, everyone's okay if they know what the plan is and the plan works out and it goes according to plan. I don't think anyone that I know of had this virus and all that it's doing in their plans. And so we all have been thrown off what we're used to. But now, after a month, month and a half, we might be feeling like, okay, we're getting into a new normal, getting back used to things. But now, after a month and a half and things starting to try and reopen, even now there are new restrictions and new rules in place. So there's never, even though we've maybe gotten used to the virus aspect of it, now getting back into things, there's going to be a new normal, and we're left scrambling once again. Give me just a minute here. Do this. So, in the midst of all this uncertainty, we need a steady handhold. If you go back to that rock climbing picture, all these things we might be used to grasping for, to hold on to support us, to give us a sense of security, a lot of those things are crumbling right before our eyes. And so we need a steady handhold, one that won't budge, one that won't break, one that is unchanging. And as far as I can tell, God is the best answer to that handhold. He is certain, he is unchanging, he is steady, and he is who we ought to cling to in this time. As I was thinking about it, though, in order to cling to him, you know, if you're rock climbing and you're holding on to something and you're looking for your next place to grab, you're not going to just look at where you're already holding on to and just reach around blindly looking for what you're going to grab onto next. No, you got to look where you're going, right? You got to look at what you're going to grab onto. And so if we're going to cling on to the Lord and reside in his safety, first we've got to look at him before we can cling to him. And so we're going to look at just a few passages that kind of lead us into that thought process. And then we'll I'll give you a challenge for this week, or not a really a challenge, but just something I'll encourage you to do. In Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3, we read this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. It starts off saying, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, the scriptures, the Bible, is chock full of examples of men and women who faced and overcame adversity primarily because of their faith in God, because they obeyed him, because they sought him. Noah, Moses, David, the disciples, Paul. And to be fair, the adversity that they faced was a bit different than working from home and not being able to eat inside of a McDonald's, right? As difficult and heart-wrenching as that is, I know for some people. They lived with perseverance and inspire us to do the same. How can we do that? How can we run this race with perseverance? Verse 2 says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Imagine, if you will, again, I don't know if anyone else is a little bummed to miss the Olympics this summer. I always enjoy watching that. But imagine, if you will, an Olympic race, and all eight people are lined up. They're ready to go 100-meter sprint, and the gun goes off. And then everyone starts running, staring at their feet. That would look, one, really goofy, and two, no one's going to break any world records doing that. They're looking at the finish line. They're looking at where they're trying to go. It's the same thing for us. We want to look at the finish line, and in our case, Jesus is that finish line. He is the ultimate. He is truth. He is hope. He is grace. He is where we should be fixing our eyes. Jesus endured far greater suffering and shame and suffering than we currently are. And he did that for us. So rather than being bogged down by these temporary circumstances, even though they feel like forever, when we zoom out, take the big picture view, this is all temporary. Instead of focusing on these temporary circumstances, we can instead fix our eyes on Jesus, because what he has accomplished on our behalf is everlasting. I'd much rather look at that. If we go to Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 2, we read this. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. So if your eyes are fixed upon Jesus, he is now sitting at the right hand of God. Both this passage and the passage before said that, Hebrews 12 and Colossians 3. So if we're fixing our eyes on Jesus, that's also where we want to set our minds, Colossians 3 says, to set our minds on things above, not on the things that are on the earth. So then the question is, how can we set our minds on things above? Now we're going to go to Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. So Paul starts off, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. How can we start to fix our eyes on Jesus and set our minds on things above? First, we can praise him and thank him and give him glory. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Share his goodness with others through word and deed. Now a very pertinent word for our world today. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Anxiety is a huge issue right now. So the question we can ask is, how can we battle it? And at least part of the answer, if not more of it, is through prayer. And I want you to notice that it's not just praying stuff like, Lord, take this anxiety away from me, or help me in this situation, or give me what I need. That might be part of it, but Paul very intentionally includes to pray with thanksgiving. Now, I've got to confess that I don't struggle with anxiety, so I can't speak to it very well other than what I read in Scripture. But I know Abby, I hope she doesn't mind me sharing this because I forgot to ask her ahead of time. Okay, good. I hope that was your, never mind. Abby does struggle with anxiety at times. And, you know, there's not always a crystal clear answer as to what to do. But as we were talking about what we were going to be talking about this morning, as I was talking with her, she alluded to this without me prompting it, this idea that remembering how God has been faithful in the past is a good reassurance that he will continue to be faithful. When we do something like that, when we remember him, when we're thankful for that, that can help to reduce anxiety. We can remember that God has been faithful in the past, will continue to be faithful. And if God is faithful, and if God is unchanging, and if God desires to conform us into the image of his Son, if we believe that to be true, then we can say, Lord, then not my will, but yours be done. And when we can say something like that, there's a lot of freedom that comes from that, because then I don't have to be the one in control of what's going on. I don't have to be the one with the master plan, but instead I'm just saying, all right, Lord, you've carried me through difficult situations before. I trust that you can do it again. And so you have your way, and I'll come along with you. There's freedom in that. And I think there's freedom from anxiety in that. Continuing on, verse 8, Paul writes, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. What you think about, you know, people share this as if what you think about and what you ponder, they say, oh, that affects what you think about yourself and how you act, as if this is some newfangled thing we've discovered. Paul knew that thousands of years ago. This is not new. What you think about, what you dwell on, where your mind goes, it matters. I wanted to do this with a real life illustration, but I didn't want to ruin Abby's water filter jug. So you'll just have to imagine this. Imagine that you grab a cup of dirty water that, you know, you mix mud into, really gross, okay? And then you've got one of those filter jugs, right, that you pour, you can, you know, get your faucet water into, which we might actually have to do now if you're in Lehighton, but you get your water into, let it drain, it filters it, makes it cleaner, supposedly. If you were to take that with your muddy water that you scooped up after the heavy rain we just had, I don't care how good your filter jug is, it's still going to come out pretty nasty on the other side. I don't know about you, I wouldn't be drinking it. If you want to, that's fine. This idea, though, is that if all we do is think about the bad stuff that's going on, or these sinful urges in our lives, or all these ugly things in life, and that's all we dwell on, all we let into our mind, all that we think about, even if it goes through our Christian filter, it's still going to come through in our lives in some way. Maybe not right away, might take some time, but it'll be present. Instead, when our minds are instead fixed upon Jesus, truth, what is right, when that is what our minds dwell on, when that is what we spend our thinking power on, it carries over into everything that our mind controls. And, you know, our brains are pretty powerful because they control just about everything in us. When I do this, it's because my brain told my arm to do it. The things that I think about, what I dwell on, what I ponder, all of that overflows into my words, my actions, my internal dialogue, what I think about myself. So we want to think about positive things, heavenly things, godly things. If we fast forward just a couple of verses there in Philippians 4, Paul continues saying, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. What's the secret? I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Paul does it through the God who gives him strength. His eyes are locked on Jesus. He has looked at who God is, and seeing that he is good, that he is a person worth trusting, he grabs onto the rock of Jesus and doesn't let go. And that is how he weathers so many of the storms that he faced. Seems like the best course of action for us in the midst of the strange situation we find ourselves in. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 18 say this: Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Before we can cling to God, we must look at him. We've got to turn our attention toward him, reach out to him. And those three verses are a good way to do it. James 4:8 promises that when we draw near to God, he will draw near to us. And so what I'd like to have us do this morning is spend some time in prayer together. If you feel led to pray, you can unmute yourself and pray. But what I want to do is, as we pray this morning, focus primarily on the character of God. I know that there are lots of crummy situations going on right now. I know there are lots of problems we can be praying for. But for this moment, I want us to turn our attention completely and solely upon the Lord and praise him for who he is, thank him for what he is doing. Maybe as we pray, maybe a scripture comes to mind and you just want to pray that back to him. Whatever the case may be, I want this to be a time for us to fix our eyes completely upon him. I can start us off, and then if you feel led to pray, or there is something you want to thank him for, praise him for, a scripture you want to speak back to him, you may unmute yourself and do that, and then I can close us out at the end. And then we'll share one last thing that I'm going to encourage you to do this week. Let's pray together. Father, there is much to be thankful for about who you are and what you are doing. Right now, I will just praise you, Lord, that you are good, that you are in control of what's going on. It hasn't surprised you. You will use this for your glory and for the building up of believers around the world. And so for that, Lord, I say thank you.
Thank you, Lord, because you are holy. And thank you that in your holiness, Lord, you extended your grace to us through Jesus Christ. Thank you that we are just unworthy of your love, and yet you give it to us, Lord. Thank you that we are loved with an everlasting love. Thank you that you are sovereign over all the events of men. Thank you that you are God and you are trustworthy. May we be drawn to you, Lord. Thank you that you draw us to yourself. Amen.
Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you, Lord, are good. good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful towards those who keep the demands of his covenant. My eyes are ever on the Lord, for only he will release my feet from the snare. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. Relieve the troubles of my heart and free me from my anguish. Look on my affliction and my distress and take away all my sins. Guard my life and rescue me. Do not let me be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. May integrity and uprightness protect me, because my hope, Lord, is in you. May that be the cry of our hearts this week, Lord, that our hope is in you, that you are the rock we cling to, the one that won't crumble, the one that won't fall away. You are the single constant thing I can think of in this world right now. Everything else is falling apart, it feels like, but you remain constant and unchanging and solid. So I want to grasp and cling to you. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. This week, I realized I forgot. I was going to ask if anyone had any good interactions with neighbors or friends this past week. We can maybe chat about that afterwards. But this week, to be a moving church, here's what I'm going to encourage you to do. To fix your eyes upon the Lord through prayer. I want to encourage you to take an extra 5 or 10 minutes of your day, specifically in prayer, but fixing your eyes on the Lord. And I'm going to rattle these off to you, but if you want a graphic of it, I will put one up on our Facebook page and on our website to help you out, and I'll try and be putting little reminders each day as well, or I can send a text or whatever, let me know, but I will post that to help serve as a reminder. Here's what I'd like you to do. Spend 5-10 extra minutes each day in prayer, and I'm going to give you some specific prompts here. Today, first, celebrate your mother and your wife who's a mother. That's all good. But then maybe as we look to fix our eyes on Jesus, maybe you need to spend a few minutes just in repentance or confession. I had to this past week, because there were certainly times within the last couple weeks where my vision started looking other places. I think I shared a little bit about that last week. And so I had to spend some time in repentance and saying, Lord, I'm sorry, but I want to get my eyes back on you. And repentance is a good way to start going about that. If there is something in your life that you feel you need to confess or make right. So spend a couple minutes in that today. Tomorrow, Monday, similar to what we just did, take some time to tell God some of his characteristics that you're thankful for and why, how you've seen them in action. Tuesday, is there a situation or a feeling that you need to give to God, that you need to let go of and let him take care of, that you need to give to him? Wednesday, something you are praising God for. Thursday, a scripture that you are praying back to God. Friday, remember a time when God has been faithful, maybe within the past month, month and a half, and tell it back to him and praise him for it. And maybe then you also think of another time within even the last year or 2 years where God has been faithful. Speak it back to him, not necessarily for his benefit, but for yours. You might use Psalm 77 as a companion for that. And I think Abby said Margie had mentioned that somewhere this week, and Abby brought it to my attention. So that's a good one to accompany that day. And then Saturday, I made a wild card day, dealer's choice. You get to pick, partly because I ran out of any good ideas. So that's on you. You get to decide, but make it focused solely on the Lord. And here's what I didn't mention as well. First, I hope you definitely do this yourself for your own relationship with him, for your own security, for your own encouragement. But if you are on social media, Facebook, whatever, here's my extra challenge to you, is to share briefly each day what it is that you prayed about. Not necessarily for the repentance one today, though if it's something you feel comfortable sharing, obviously you can. But sharing the characteristics of God that you're thankful for, the situation or feeling that you give to him, something you're praising him for, a scripture that you're praying back, remembering a time that he was faithful. And here's why I'm challenging you to do that. If you're like me and you sometimes mindlessly scroll through the Facebook, right? There's a lot of just stuff that's there. Some of it good, a lot of it just blah. Or if you're someone who watches the news all the time, yeah, Jim's got it. You know, it's okay to watch the news, to be on Facebook, to hear what's going on with people, to hear what's going on around the world. That's fine. I don't think we should ignore those things. But when that becomes all we see or hear, then that's what fills our minds. And that's what discourages us. That's what bogs us down. And if we're fixing our eyes on those things, then that means we're not fixing our eyes on Jesus. And so, this exercise, first and foremost, I hope will help you look to Jesus, cling to him. But also, if you choose to share some of those things on your social media channels or share them with a friend, even in conversation, you can break up the monotony for someone else and invite them to look to Jesus instead of all the bad news stories or the theories about what's really going on or whatever it might be. You, by sharing your personal looking at Jesus, you are inviting them to also look with you. They might just scroll right on by. That's fine, but you're putting the invitation out there. That's my challenge to you this week. Maybe not a challenge, but my encouragement to you. Challenges should be hard typically. I don't think this is that hard, or it shouldn't be, but sometimes it feels that way. It's a challenging encouragement. There we go. All right, anyway. I will post a picture with those things on our Facebook page, on our website. If that does not work for you, you can let me know, and I can also send it to you in a text message. But that's my encouragement to you this week. And my prayer would be is that if you engage in this and do it, we can, one, be an encouragement to each other, but also, with the Lord's help, be an encouragement to others and give them somewhere else to look and something else to cling on to when a lot of other things are falling apart.